This program is brought to you by thepodcastfactory.com.
You're listening to the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast. And now, here's your host, Lisa Rangel.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to the 37th episode of the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast. I'm Lisa Rangel, host of the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast and founder of Chameleon Resumes. We are an executive resume writing, LinkedIn profile development, and job search consultancy firm that helps executives and high potential leaders land their next position faster. And on today's podcast, we're going to list the 8 moves that high performing executives can do to protect their career in a merger and acquisition. Most people, when I ask, what's your biggest asset? Hello and welcome. Welcome to the 37th episode of the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast. I'm Lisa Rangel, host of the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast and founder of Chameleon Resumes. We are an executive resume writing, LinkedIn profile development, and job search consultancy firm that helps executives and high potential leaders land their next position faster. And on today's podcast, we're going to list 8 moves executives can do to protect their career in a merger and acquisition. Most people, when I ask, what's your biggest asset? Typically, their answer is that their home is their biggest asset. And in most cases, this answer is incorrect. Another common answer could be the investments that they hold. Possibly for some, but for still many, I will venture it's the wrong answer. What is the right answer for most people? The biggest asset that you have for most of us is our career. If you look at the income that you will generate over a lifetime, that is truly the biggest asset that most people have in their life. And if your career is managed properly, you can maximize raises, bonuses, perks for each new role you land. You can also manage these raises, bonus, and perks through mergers and acquisitions. So the key is, are you proactively managing your career? Ask yourself that. Or are you just letting it happen to you? When there's a merger and acquisition, are you just hoping everything goes fine? So if you're part of the latter group, I'm going to guess that sometimes you feel underutilized, underemployed, possibly underpaid, possibly unrecognized. If employers know that you won't ask for a raise or you're not going to ask to remain with the company in an even bigger and better position in some cases, or even an equal position, they're not going to give you that raise, or they're going to give that promotion to someone else, or that job in the new company, the merged or the acquired company, they're going to give that move to someone else. It's that simple. I can't believe they didn't give me that promotion is a statement I often hear. Or I can't believe they didn't know that I wanted that job. Well, if you didn't tell them, they may not know, especially if someone else is telling them that they want it. So sometimes a well-deserved promotion that doesn't go to the right person can hijack your career, which, as we said earlier, for most of us is our biggest asset. And however, there are times that when I follow up with the, well, what did you do to earn the promotion? Or what did you do to let them know that you wanted that job in the newly created company? The answer is often nebulous, vague, a sense of avoidance, because I can tell the person was banking on commitment, you know, their commitment or their seniority or their loyalty to secure that career bump or that move in the new company. But that promotion went to someone else who networked better, or that job in the new company went to someone who knew someone from the new company, or someone from their company who just simply networked better and demonstrated results more prominently that were needed in the new role. And the person who received it also earned it, but sometimes, hence why they're there, didn't expect it to be given. They asked. So when you take steps to improve your skills, improve your network with decision makers, position yourself as a winner, you're actively managing your career and not passively waiting for things to happen to you. This is how you maximize your earnings. This is how you manage your biggest asset. I want you to think of it another way. Think of your home, right? You buy a home, you do yearly maintenance, you paint maybe every 3, 5, even if you're lagging a little bit, 10 years. Occasionally something breaks, you fix it immediately so it doesn't get worse. You might put in a new kitchen, you might update the bathroom, you might update the siding, you might fix the roof. All of these actions help and most likely improve the value of your home, the value of that asset. So back to your career, which is your other asset, and for many of us, our biggest asset. Here's a list of 8 moves on how you can protect your overall career. Reduce your headaches. This list will help you remain proactive if your company's going through a merger or an acquisition, or if you're gunning for a promotion. The goal is to stay ahead in your career. So for the first item, I want you to assume you're fired today, because this is a mindset that forces you to be proactive. And the good news is if you are listening to this podcast, you're already aiming to get step 1 completed. Bravo, bravo. Make the to-do list of everything that's necessary to begin the search for a position outside the company. During a merger and acquisition, make a list of people you should be talking to internally in your company and in the other company. The activities you need to do range from updating your resume, updating your profile, networking, and I'll get to that in a little bit, what that is. But what's most important is learning how much the search process may have changed since you last looked. You may not have to pull the trigger on the job hunt today. You may not have to take a job if you're even offered one on an interview today. But being prepared, doing your research, puts you in a position of strength no matter what goes down. So even if it's negotiating for a position within your existing company, knowing you have options outside the company helps your leverage and honestly drastically improves your ability to come across confident and that you have options. Having a plan to follow also helps you stay calm in a crisis. It means you'll make better decisions and you will be better able to negotiate for yourself on your behalf. Second, do your homework while the merger acquisition is still on the drawing board. As early as you know, right? Sometimes I admit you don't know, but if you know early, just start researching. If your company is involved in a merger and acquisition, it may affect your career. So do your homework. Understand the prospective company's values, strategies, methodologies, terminology. Determine who will be in the dominant company. If that is not your company, then you have to understand how things get done in that other company. You can access information from media coverage, reading security analyst reports if that's available, asking contacts, start doing your due diligence. And if the company you're with is going to be the prominent company, then start networking internally on how this is going to be structured to see where you can fit in. I want you to accept that the past is behind you. The reality is this. It's very possible that the goodwill that you established with superiors, the reputation you built, the promise of future rewards may not exist, even if your company is the dominant company in the merger and acquisition. Don't complain about the new ways of doing things. Doing so creates a perception that you're part of the old order. The easiest way to mirror the new order is to use its style of communication, buzzwords, and aim to fit into the culture. Fourth, I want you to reconfigure what to do with what is now needed. So the new order is focused possibly on accomplishing its goals as quickly and efficiently as possible. You have a shot at staying employed, even getting a better position with the newly merged or acquired company, if you can explain succinctly how your function aligns with those exact priorities. So for example, instead of describing general duties and areas of oversight, you might show the results of your work. Show how it affects top line, bottom line. Show how your work affects sales directly or indirectly, or helps it if you're not in a direct sales role. So you want to do this proactively, because without warning, you could be called in to justify your existence. Again, this is a move in protection. And I'd say number 5, don't hide. It's only by being out there that you can make your value known to the new company. So reach out beyond your own department or silo. Have an elevator speech ready. Suggest how you can be helpful. If rebuffed, don't run for cover. Instead, identify entry points into the power structure. That could be joining them at a new company gym at 6 a.m. or sharing special expertise on a market globally that they're trying to enter, and you have that knowledge. Maintain a self-confident persona, and a display of fear or hiding can invite weakness into your daily life in a sense. So, you know, just be confident and know that it's always going to work out. Even if it's not at the company, you're going to find what you need because you're a talented person and you're putting your feelers out now. 6, monitor signs of being encouraged to quit. Don't ignore them. It can reduce severance costs if the company can encourage you to resign on your own and give you a package. So Tactics to achieve that can include lessening your workload, establishing impossible quotas, excluding you from the communication loop. I don't want to say public humiliation in a deliberate way, but setting you up to fail, essentially. Your decision depends on many factors. So those range from your financial condition, whether resigning versus waiting to be fired or terminated with possibly with a package, possibly without. These are these path options that you need to evaluate and consider. I mean, there's no absolute right answer. And remembering a firing is perceived differently from a wide-scale reduction in force. So consult with a lawyer, possibly a career expert. You happen to know one. And we can help you with that. So you can go to executivejobsecurity.com and hire us for that particular coaching, and we can help you with that. So number seven, review all legal contracts, agreement. This is where you can use a lawyer if you're given a contract to review for an exit or being retained. Your options may be predetermined by what you signed on during your initial hiring process, because they, depending on how it's worded, they may need to honor it, or they may say, we're going to give you a new contract. So from the get-go, you know you're not going to fit into the emerging organizational culture. But say you entered an agreement to stay on for 18 months after the merger, you're going to have to work through that. Or maybe your contract reads you can't work for a competitor for 2 years. So again, if it's a new company now, that may be null and void. It may not be. So that's where you're going to want to ask an employment lawyer. That means it's in your self-interest to try to make this work in some cases. And in the event of a merger, you're guaranteed sometimes a certain amount of severance pay if you stay to a certain point. So again, it's your choice to stay or take the money and leave and start over somewhere else. And if you need advice on your contract for that, an employment lawyer can definitely help. So, and I'd say number eight, say you stay. Again, under the number one point of pretend you're fired today, I would say don't settle in. You might look forward to the day where the dust settles and your work life returns to normal. Post M&A in most situations for at least 18 months, that's not bound to happen. It's because the M&A process, it's a tough nut to crack in terms of integration of culture, systems, people. It can take a couple of years minimum. And during that process, every aspect of your job can change and continue to change. So don't anticipate settling in, because the more ready you are for unanticipated change, the better you're going to look. And again, it will help you elongate your employment. So the key is to make sure you're ready. Continually maintain your achievements, your sense of belonging, your continuity actions of your career. This is key. You want to ensure by being continuous in your networking actions and the belonging to your profession and documenting of your achievements that you are ensuring you remain employable, whether it's with your company or a new company. You want to ensure that you have executive job security during or after that merger acquisition. If you don't feel prepared to do all of these actions confidently, and you simply want qualified accountability to ensure that you stay the course, then hire us for personal guidance. Go to executivejobsecurity.com and invest in our executive job security program to work with our team of career performance coaches that will help you be proactive, help you manage this merger and acquisition process from a career expert's perspective, and help you further advance and ensure continuity in your career. This way you don't have to do it alone, and you can maximize your performance, optimize your situation, get the most that you can out of the situation before you, as well as continue to always look for something that is better. Career continuity coaching resources found at executivejobsecurity.com. In past episodes, we talked about the only way to truly protect yourself from job loss is to pretend you're fired today and make a list of activities you would do to start to find your next job. And that was actually number one of today's list. Doing proactive activities to keep yourself in demand when you don't need a job is the key element in the pretend you're fired today action list. So keep your network primed and active so you can stay in the forefront of your network's mind to create demand for yourself consistently. We want you to be in demand when you need it. So you need to create the demand before you need it. This way, if your job situation changes unexpectedly, say you don't get a promotion that you were expecting and deserve, or you have an M&A acquisition that's before your organization and you're not sure where you're going to fall. So the key is, if things happen beyond your expectations, you already have pent-up demand for what you do by doing these actions that I show you here today. So the next few episodes of the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast We're going to continue to go through a list of tactics and activities that you can do now to maintain your career and ensure continuous employment. The key is that you're always employable. We want you ready for whatever the world brings your way. The first item on the Pretend You're Fired Today action list is the resume. We cover that in episodes 1 through 8. The second item on the list was updating your LinkedIn profile, which you can review in episodes 9 through 12. And in the last 2 dozen or so episodes, some of the topics that we covered are how to work with recruiters, how to handle the culture fit interview question, how to handle that infamous overqualified question. We show you how to negotiate your salary and conquer your next interview. So you're going to want to revisit the catalog for those episodes. I'm so proud of you of taking these steps to making yourself marketable when you don't need it, because most people wait for that unexpected job change to happen. Then they learn this information about the job search. So kudos to you for doing it before you need it. This is exactly what will help you stay employable. My friend saved me with her priceless advice, pretend you're fired today, and I'm paying it forward with you. I ask you to pay this sentiment forward and share it with as many executives and rising professionals who you feel would benefit from this create the demand before you need it advice. Doing the preparation suggested in this episode will enable you to protect your career when your company is going through a transition. In our next episode, we will discuss how to create time to get 9 hours in a week for your career management and your job search. That's huge. The biggest complaint that I get from executives regarding job searching and career management is that they don't have the time to manage their career and do a job search when needed. I know looking for a job while having a job is a challenge. But in this next episode, you will learn how to get 9 hours back in your week. Wow. You will not want to miss this next episode so you can make the time to be proactive and always ensure you can land your next executive role, even and especially when you're currently working. And in the interim, if you want personalized coaching for your career so you can get past a particular area that you struggle with, or if you just want to make sure that you're staying accountable to these activities so you can always be proactive in maintaining your job security, go to executivejobsecurity.com and hire us to help you directly. So this way we can help you optimize the path before you and protect your biggest asset, that being most likely for most of us, your career. So look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Be well.
This is the podcastfactory.com.